Blog Talk Radio.
From the directors of Reservoir Dogs, Desperado, Pulp Fiction, From Dusk Till Dawn, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Kill Bill, and Sin City, Tarantino and Rodriguez are back. Only this time, they're back to back with a double feature that'll tear you in two. First,
I got bit.
Bit by what?
If I told you, you probably wouldn't believe me.
Robert Rodriguez, Planet Terror.
Made you something. Open that door, will you, baby?
Plus,
fair lady,
your chariot awaits.
Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof.
Will I frighten you? Is it my scar?
Two no holds barred feature length motion pictures for the price of one. Planet Terror and Death Proof. Only at the Grindhouse.
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane!
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Good afternoon, folks. Well, Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino certainly called it. This is Sunday's double feature, a different double feature of sorts. This is D-Bert, a.k.a. The Afternoon. Welcome to the double feature show, which is the Comic Shop first at 6 p.m. and Afternoon Radio at 7 p.m. second. Okay, folks, we have a lot to get into. I'm not going to get into a musical number. I think we should just get on into it. Unfortunately, Captain Kirk is persona non grata for the moment. I spoke with him earlier this afternoon. Something might have come up. Hopefully it's not an emergency, but if he comes in, he comes in. If not, he will be sorely missed. However, we do have the indefatigable, irreplaceable Daryl B. Daryl B, he's got to be here somewhere. Let's get into it.
Basement.
Hey, Daryl, what's up?
Chilling, sir.
To the listening audience, again, this is the Comic Shop first, Afternoon Radio second. The call-in number, don't be scared, is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We're going to talk about all things pulp, pop, comic book, sci-fi, fantasy, video gaming, everything of a Afro-nerdic nature. Just getting into the topics quickly. Oh, yeah, before I even do that, folks, stay tuned for Tuesday. We have a special Tuesday broadcast featuring NC Light. You heard it, NC Light. She was scheduled last week. Unfortunately, there was a scheduling snafu. These things happen. We had a record amount of listeners, obviously, for Ms. Light's appearance, but she assured us that she will be returning on the 10th. Tuesday the 10th, 4 p.m. Don't forget to check us out. Anyway, back to the now. The Comic Shop. Some of the topics. Number one, the Amazing Spider-Man. And it appears he is still amazing with a $140 million box office takedown for this July 4th spread out weekend. So we're going to have to talk about his stellar performance as well as our opinions on this reboot. The Amazing Spider-Man has swung once again. And even more on Spidey news, Miles Morales, the Afro-Latin Spider-Man. There's a film short. Let me shout out Sergio Mims, friend of the show, on his blog, Shadow and Act, again through IndieWire.com, Shadow and Act. Definitely Google it. he sent me an email about this excellent film short that shows us the Spider-Man of color, his story. So let's see if that will somehow transmogrify into a different Spider-Man on film. Let's talk about it. We're going to talk about that as well. Hit Monkey. Hit Monkey, the comic book short, I should say, or comic book series, short-lived series. It looks like they're going to get a video game imprint out of that. Jeff Johns and Gary Frank, they came out this week with Batman Earth 1, a trade paperback of sorts. I thought it was an excellent read, so we're going to talk about that. And also, is Marvel, we thought this was going to happen anyway, is Marvel sending out a shot across the bow aimed at DC with their new Marvel Now? You know, a few months ago we spoke about DC's 52 reboot launch. Now, we didn't think necessarily that Marvel was going to go there, but we kind of sort of thought they were. Marvel has
Cap called it.
Marvel Now is coming up, and it appears to be a shot across the bow aimed at DC with their DC 52. So we're going to talk about that as well. So again, folks, let's get our engines running. Again, Captain is persona non grata. He may come in later on. The call-in number, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. And the chat room is open as well. Daryl, let's get into the film of the hour, The Amazing Spider-Man, $140 million. What are your thoughts about this film?
I thought it was good, but you know what? It's not better than Toby's. It's not better than Sam Raimi's. I am sorry, folks. You know, there's been guys calling up, well, Andrew Garfield's the best Spider-Man ever. Aren't we going a little too fast on this one? You know, they've already went, hey, we're going to make a trilogy of these movies. So everybody's jumping the gun on it. I honestly thought the best thing about this movie was Rice Eye fans as Kirk Connors. He did a great job portraying Kurt as, oh, you know what? I can trust this dude. And then flipping on the switch like, man, this dude is sinister as all heck. You know, I give him lots of credit. He's always been a good actor, but the main thing was we didn't know if he could present the right air of menace going into this. And I have to say he was the best thing about this movie for me, you know, and what's her name? Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy, the paramour, you know, she did an okay job. Garfield's okay, don't get me wrong. But the thing is, this movie isn't going to make anybody forget Tobey Maguire in one, and especially two. You're not forgetting that watching this one, all right? I'm sorry, folks. You could bring up the parents and combine the 616 and Ultimate Universe origins for them and how Peter's involved and all that. You combine them both. You did that as the story. Okay, I get that. But it's not making anybody forget Tobey Maguire. Floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, you know, I will confess that I was excited. When I see these things, I'm excited no matter what, to a certain degree. They're already going to get at least a star and a half just by having these films actually make it to the silver screen for me. Growing up, looking at these comic book properties, reading these comic book properties, sometimes seeing some schlocky or some kind of campy TV iteration, you know, so when we finally see a visually accurate, visually stunning, visual interpretation of the comic book, I'm already a little bit excited. That's number one. So there's always going to be I'm going to always have a little bit of a positive spin on this stuff just because, hey, as a comic book geek, as a quote-unquote Afro nerd, to finally see these things make it to the screen, I give it some props, unless it's completely horrendous. So it was far from being horrendous. A couple of things, though, I will say. Sometimes when you do these reboots, you know, when you go into a origin story once again, and we already know. I mean, Spider-Man is so ubiquitous, almost on par with Superman. We spoke to Mr. Larry Tye regarding his book last week, and I would implore our listenership to check out that interview in the archives. You know, when you know the origin, sometimes I get a little bit hesitant when they repeat the origin again. Like, okay, we'll go through this run again. We'll go through this run again, Darryl. And are we going to go into his origin story in 2020, 2021? I'm just curious. I mean, are we going to really do that again? Because when you think about something like James Bond, James Bond does not necessarily go back into his origin story. Matter of fact, this latest James Bond was what some might consider a reboot after, what, how many countless films of 5 decades practically? You know, I think that some of these films, whether it's Batman, whether it's Superman, at some point they're going to have to treat them like the James Bond films, where people pretty much know what they're getting into, and you just continue the story. Well, what are your thoughts about that?
It's kind of a continuation of our argument last week about how they should proceed with the Green Lantern film, you know? Everybody knows who Spider-Man is now. Everybody. There isn't a person that went to that theater who doesn't know who Spider-Man is now, right? You have Ultimate Spider-Man on TV. You have plenty of Spider-Man. People love the 90s freaking cartoon. You know, you have all these iterations of Spider-Man. You do not need to dip into the origin story to have an origin take up 30 minutes of a movie's time. You don't need to do it anymore. You really don't. And that's the thing that drives me nuts about this, all right? Some of these guys feel that, well, the real story is the origin. And then in the middle of a fight, Spider-Man will be without his mask. And all of these damn freaking cliches these directors and these scripts keep on falling back on. Hello, there is a reason Peter Parker wears a mask as Spider-Man, right? I don't care. Is it me, or does every one of these films, he has to have a period in the fight where he takes the mask off? Really? Like I said, the movie was good, but it was far from great. And I'm sorry, Marvel. Yo, Avengers has raised the bar so high right now, okay, that I can almost call this movie lackluster for everything you promised just because, you know, you rebooted this, I shouldn't say Marvel, Sony, all right, because it's Sony's property, or a movie property. You were so quick to do a reboot. The problem is the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man is still fresh in a lot of people's minds, and you couldn't help but look at this and wonder, what would Tobey Maguire do with this script?
Quickly, we have a caller, so let's entertain. I don't think it's the captain, but we have a caller, so let's check out with what our listenerships have to say about this thing. Let's get into it. Okay, caller, welcome to the Comic Shop. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 219.
Hey guys, it's Chad Hunter. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, I was just listening. I couldn't agree with you guys anymore. When I heard about the reboot, I thought it was completely unnecessary. I'm tired of these movies that feel like every time they do another character, we gotta start back at square one. By now, who doesn't know if Spider-Man was bit by a spider and Spider-Man? That's pretty, that's the whole movie. I'm tired of all these movies having to do the angst, the teenage romance. You know, I mean, the character is important and story is important, but let's not forget why people go to see these movies. And it's the same problem I have, with other movies. Like, I mean, I loved Iron Man. I enjoyed it. I liked Captain America. But still, just because we get these big-name actors, halfway through a fight, the mask has to come off to validate why they spend the money.
It assaults our senses as comic fans. Now, regular folks going to see it, they love that. But comic book fans see it and go like, okay, why is he taking his mask off?
Exactly.
We are hardwired to go, yeah, that was really stupid. Go ahead, Abner.
Well, something else, and this is, as I was looking at the film, this is something that, not just this film, but it may be something that will affect all these type of films, is that as comic book fans, we've been reading these comic books for years. And it takes many occasions, it has taken years for certain storylines to develop. And I think that's one of the drawbacks when you deal with properties that are 20, 30, 50, with Superman, 70, 80 years old, is that, you know, in the instance, like, okay, you have Gwen Stacy's father. What's Gwen Stacy's father's first name? I see the captain is in. Hold on, let me bring the captain in for a moment. Captain. You made it. That's all right. It's good you came in when you came in, because we're in the middle of a battle. Not unlike with the Lizard, talking about Spider-Man, the drawbacks. And I was saying is that, you know, the beauty of the comic book was that you really did not know that George Stacy knew that Spider-Man was Peter Parker, but it was always intimated. It was hinted. It was hinted for many years. And all that I thought about this film was that they straightened out some of the linear storytelling from the Ditko comic book, Steve Ditko's original run of Spider-Man, with Gwen Stacy being the first girlfriend in the first place. So in other words, they did it right this time in some ways, but then when you think about what Dow was talking about with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, that movie was so recent, it's so clear in your head, and there were some aspects about that mythology and about how they did that, which was equally as accurate, although Mary Jane was not the first girlfriend. There's certain things that they're doing, but they basically have to run through 30, 40, 50 years of comic book mythos in an hour and a half, in 2 hours. So that's why I suspect you're going to see goofy stuff like masks coming off and revelations. And they don't have the time like we did to go through months, years, decades of revelations. Do you think that's one of the main drawbacks when you do comic book stuff, is that we know how this is going to end, the audience doesn't, and they don't have the time? Daryl?
I thought that was going to the cap, but, it's nitpicking, you know? Seriously, it's nitpicking. I often tell folks, yo, we could give you our opinions, you're just going to have to see it for yourself. You know, you just take us our words. But the problem is when we have just, and we're comic book fans. Comic book fans are hardwired with three things, all right? We love to see heroics. There has to be some sort of angst, all right? But we have great memories, all right? You may not know exact details exactly, you know, from it, but we can remember, yeah, they fought before. Yeah, this is what happened. Yeah. And the problem is with these movies is they don't take into account that there's a large segment of the movie-going audience that remembers it. You know, we're making a new Spider-Man movie. Okay, we could all press the delete button in our minds and totally forget the Tobey Maguire one and be ready for Mr. Garfield. That's not going to happen, Cap.
Well, I definitely agree with your point. When we actually saw this version of Spider-Man, there were people in the movie theater saying, "What? I thought he already had spider powers already. What are they showing me this for?" So you're absolutely correct. You know, you're absolutely correct. That's exactly how they felt. That more or less that they could push the delete button. A lot of people didn't realize that this was a reboot. They didn't realize what they were going to see. So it is something that they essentially do, especially when you're dealing with Hollywood and everything is just a money grab. You understand? Because personally, my opinion that this Spider-Man, this should have came out 2 years from now, not coming out now. You know, the numbers were really good and everything else. They did very well. But I think 2 years from now would have been better, you know, as far as the reboot and get everything essentially started all over again. That's just my opinion on the subject pertaining to the movie. I thought the movie was decent. You know, I'm not going to beat it up or anything like that, you know. I'm a little bit biased towards Spider-Man. You know, it wasn't a great movie, but I think it was decent. It was decent. Back over to you, Sir Affleck.
Yeah, again, to our audience, you're listening to The Comic Shop. Feel free to give us a buzz at 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We have our friend Chad on the phone. Chad, I want to ask you a quick question before we go to a quick musical break. I was just thinking of something. Do you think that the fact that Sony has this property is not really under the Marvel Entertainment umbrella? Not really. I think it's Sony's film distributed by Columbia, if I'm not mistaken. But do you think it would have fared better if it were truly a Marvel property? Do you think that's going to be an issue? You know, Fox still has Fantastic Four. I mean, the fact that when you see the Avengers and those other heroes are able to interact in the same universe, maybe that's what's hurting its appeal, is that Spider-Man, you know, can never interact with the Avengers, even though in the last couple of years he is an Avenger.
You know, I think there is something to be said for the fact that a lot of these characters that we all grew up with under one house, you know, now that they are in a media format, that house has been divided. So you do have a situation where, you know, writers and the people behind movies like Avengers and Captain America and Thor and et cetera, you know, obviously these people have communicated to some level of consistency. And, I mean, the fact the movies have proven that they have good, capable writers behind it. There's people involved with that core of those movies that are worried about quality, and they're planning it out. And I think because movies like Spider-Man or Fantastic Four are separated, you don't have that same checklist. You don't have that same quality control like the other movies that have proven, you know, not only quality-wise, but as you know, entertainment-wise. So, yeah, I think it's a big problem. It would be good in a perfect world if Marvel and DC were able to bring all their movies under one house, you know, and individual house, so that they can, they can ensure a quality of movie.
I mean, I'm going to go to a quick musical break. And, Chad, I want to keep you on for the next segment. We're still going to talk about Spider-Man, but this time we're going to segue into the Miles Morales film short. Did you by any chance see this film short?
No, I did not.
You might want to check it out, but hold on. We're going to go to a musical break. Let's talk about Spider-Man, but we're going to talk about the Afro-Latin Spider-Man, Miles Morales. When we get back, quickly, this is about a minute. This is Talk Together. It's a mashup. Talk Together. We'll be back in a few moments. Hold on.
Love.
Okay, we're back. That's a real quick snippet there of Talk Together, a special mashup with a Al Green remix there, if you can understand that, folks, by Tall Black Guy. That is the artist, Tall Black Guy. Could have been made by myself, but it wasn't. Tall Black Guy. All right, folks, again, welcome to the Comic Shop. Afternoon Radio comes up at 7 p.m. Talking about Spider-Man, I just want to make one quick comment. I mean, there's always this talk about some of the studios lending out these characters. I think it's becoming more imperative. There seems to be someone might actually go into having Spider-Man in the next Avengers film. Let's cross our fingers on that one. Let's hope that the attorneys can figure this out. It makes good business sense. Sony is not going to let go of that property anytime soon. If it was in the dumpster, they'd let it go. You know, I believe Daredevil reverted back to Marvel. The Punisher reverted back to Marvel. Those movies did so-so business. But with Sony, with Spider-Man doing, you know, $700-800 million or more, they're not going to get rid of that property. So if they're not going to get rid of it, I can't imagine another decade going by and this character not mixing it up with Captain America or Thor or somebody. So I hope they're able to do it just because it's good business sense. Now, something that just hit the net, I guess, a few days ago, is this film short, a fan film short that's definitely making the rounds with the Ultimate Universe version of Spider-Man, Miles Morales. And I thought it was pretty well done, shouting out Sergio Mims, friend of the show. I would definitely implore our listenership to check out Shadow and Act through IndieWire, Shadow and Act, IndieWire.com. And he wrote a quick piece on it, and Comics Alliance also wrote a piece on this. And it seems to be going over quite favorably on the Internet. And I'm thinking, this is another thing that maybe the attorney can answer. In theory, this is under the Marvel umbrella, not the Sony umbrella. Could they come up with a Black Spider-Man under Marvel?
Yeah, but you can't – I wouldn't use Black Spider-Man as the main one. The problem is with the legalese. If you use Spider-Man as the title, Spider-Man, you know, Sony will be like, hey, we own the film rights to that. We know it isn't the right character, but you still could sue. Because think about it. Like I said, Cameron, when he did Avatar, all right, he filed legal injunctions against Avatar The Last Airbender, and they had to change the name to The Last Airbender. You know, even though the Avatar The Last Airbender as a series was totally different than Cameron's Avatar, okay, and it was out first in animated form before Avatar came to thing, Cameron and his high-priced lawyers or whatever got them to change the name of that movie. This one, Morales, Miles, with great power. You know, this you could come up with different names, and Marvel could run it with Miles Morales as Spider-Man. And it's a testament to these fans that put this together, because we saw it with the Static Shock movie. We saw it with the Mortal Kombat. You know, we saw it with the Street Fighter. You know, if Hollywood ain't going to make what we want to watch, some of these film students, some of these background characters, some of these small fries in the eyes of Hollywood, hey, if they got the technology and they got the passion, do your thing. And, yo, the Miles Morales one, that looked amazing. That looked amazing. And who knows who's paying attention? Cap?
Well, looking at the short looked decent. But I feel that due to all the litigation that's all involved with Spider-Man, getting hold of a Spider-Man property, what I think will happen with this individual, if they can keep doing shorts and have it essentially going as a web series, what will eventually happen, if they can keep this going, someone will give that person a shot, because what opportunity does, opportunity watches you at first. Opportunity just doesn't roll up and say, here you go. Opportunity sits back and watches you for a little while and says, interesting, let me see what else you got, and then the opportunity comes. So this particular individual, whoever's doing this short, they need to just keep doing them every so often, and building the fan base and building up, getting more hits, and then eventually opportunity is going to come to this person, and they'll say, okay, you're not necessarily going to do Spider-Man, but why don't you do this? Here's money to go do this. So this person here is definitely on the right track. As long as they can keep going, something positive is going to come out of this, based on what I see. Looks decent. You know, it's along the right line. Keep up the good work. Back over to you, Seraph Nerd.
Well, you know what? Just kind of dovetailing what you just stated, Captain, I'm beginning to think that, you know, this was kind of treated as a joke when the Childish Gambino himself, Donald Glover, came out, and he said he thought that, you know, why not, why can't we have a black Spider-Man, because anyone could be under that mask. And honestly, you know, listen, I'm one of those guys, I'm not into political correctness all the time. In other words, you know, I know what Peter Parker's supposed to look like, but as a true geek, as long as it's in print, once it's in print, they'll say, oh, we can do that. I'm going to be very – if there's such a thing as a black Spider-Man in print, then say, oh, okay, I can go with it now. It's starting in the comic books. It didn't come out of just thin air per se. The fact that we have a black Nick Fury in both universes, mind you, I think in the next segment when we talk about Marvel now, they are going to incorporate the black Nick Fury against our listening audience. The black Nick Fury started out as a invention through the Ultimate or alternate Marvel Universe line, but because of his popularity and, of course, the way he was drawn to resemble actor Sam Jackson. When that happened, people said, okay, it's kind of cool. When they brought him into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it wasn't a stretch. Now they brought him into the main comic book. So when Marvel Now comes out, they're going to have a black Spider-Man. A black Nick Fury. Now I'm thinking, well, Donald Glover was kind of pitching this as a goof. Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino. Now I can kind of see him as Miles Morales. I think this has started out as like a really small comical passing thing, and it keeps on growing and growing and growing. And now we actually have a decent film short. And, you know, once, you know, the studios see this stuff, if it gets a lot of hits and it looks like it's on track, if this tracks a lot and gains ground on the internet, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of alternate Spider-Man movie. It would make sense. Don't make it for $200 million. Make it for $60 million. Make it for $70 million. You know, I don't know. I have a suspicion this is going to work itself out some way. Any thoughts on that? Chad, let's go to Chad. Any thoughts on that?
You left. Lost Chad.
Okay, Chad, God. All right.
Thanks,
Darryl,
for coming, Chad.
Any thoughts on that? He's back. He's back.
Is Chad back? Yeah, let him answer.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah, any thoughts on that?
We still talking about the I dropped off for a second, guys. Lost the connection. We talking about the Miles Morales Black Spider-Man idea or the Nick Fury?
I was using Nick Fury as an example. What I was saying is that this has been gaining ground for a little bit now. You know, it started out as kind of a goof, or I'd say it was a goof. But I'd say there's a strain of seriousness in it with Childish Gambino, aka Donald Glover, saying why can't we have a Black Spider-Man? Now we're seeing the physical manifestation of it. Do you think we could see a film out of this? Is it possible?
I just saw the short, and I got to applaud the guys that did it. It's a great job. I think, you know, it's tough just because Spider-Man as a media icon, you know, it's not just the Spider-Man we grew up with in the comic book level, but now at the movie level, people are used to a white Spider-Man. And I think that if they try to do, you know, an Ultimate Spider-Man movie and they deal with the Miles Morales character instead of the mainstream white Peter Parker, I think the movie would struggle. First of all, I don't think it ever would see the light of day. And whether or not the audiences would flock to it, I don't think that the executives behind it would feel that it would be a successful enough venture to throw the money behind it. If it ended up as like a cartoon on, you know, MTV or something, or Disney Channel, or maybe a cartoon like that I could see. Because even the Ultimate Spider-Man now has the black Nick Fury on the cartoon. But I don't see it ever becoming a feature film.
Well, you know what? I will say this. Hollywood, you're paying attention. The guys on YouTube, if you're paying attention, don't fall into the Catwoman trap where you do it and you decide, we're going to do it. All right, we're going to do it, but we're going to have no links to freaking Batman whatsoever in the movie, all right? Or the steel trap. You know what? We're going to do it, but this black dude can't be linked to Superman whatsoever, which is like a total slap in the face to us comic book fans. Like, come on, Catwoman, even though she's black and Halle Berry looked good in the suit, You know, there has to be a Batman link. Steel, there has to be a Superman link. You know?
I got a question for you guys. I'm sorry.
But with Miles Morales, you have to have a Spider-Man link because that's the whole basis on him being inspired to pick up the suit. All right, go ahead, Chad.
Well, my question is, I saw that, I think it's Marvel Now, or Now Marvel, whatever, the new poster that came out this week about,
yes,
you know, the Avengers and the X-Men coming together. That Black Nick Fury, is that supposed to be his son that was, you know, unveiled in the
Battle Scars.
Yeah, Battle Scars, or is that supposed to be some kind of, like, Ultimate Nick Fury crossover?
No, actually, we spoke about this a few shows ago. It was a limited series going back a few months ago. I think it just wrapped up maybe 2 or 3 months ago. I think it's about maybe 5 books, Daryl.
Six.
About 5 books, 6 books. It's called Battle Scars. Battle Scars.
Okay.
And it goes through the entire origin of what's the character's original name? Marcus?
Marcus yeah.
Johnson? Yeah, Marcus Johnson. There's a I don't want to say convoluted, but for lack of a better word, there's a convoluted explanation for why there is a Black Nick Fury in this universe, and it is explained, and actually what happened, I mean, the bottom line is Nick Fury was a player, had relations with a black woman, and now we have a black Nick Fury. Nick Fury Jr.
You just wrapped up six issues in like two statements.
Yeah,
that's basically what happened.
Yeah, let's just be truthful here, okay? Nick Fury is freaking Marvel's James Bond, okay?
Right.
And if there's two things you know about James Bond, is he was a super spy and he banged every hot model in sight. Come on, Nick Fury's been around since freaking the end of World War One. To think that he wasn't bonking every girl that he could while doing missions, come on. Come on, this had to happen. You know he's got kids all over the place. His kids could be their own superhero team. Hello, Dynamo 5, shout out there.
There's no Shield condoms, I guess, out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, listen, and actually there's another, I think it's just called Fury that's out now, a Fury miniseries with the white Nick Fury, which is pretty good. And it takes place during Vietnam. And it's quite compelling. It's under the Marvel Max story, Marvel Max imprint. So I would definitely implore our listenership to check it out. But you know, listen, there's an explanation for why this new Nick Fury is around. I think really, as far as marketing is concerned, the Black Nick Fury with this generation, people are growing up to know that this is who they think is. You know, they don't think of the Jim Steranko Nick Fury. You know, I grew up on that Nick Fury, but this
right,
Nick Fury
right.
is cool. This Nick Fury is cool. He's putting butts in seats, ultimately. And they figure we have to have an explanation as to why this guy, you know, to make things simple, it's, you know, it's, for the geeks, we understand, well, there's another universe. You know, they say, you know what, for marketing purposes, let's bring him into 616, into the normal continuity. So, now, you mentioned Marvel Now. Let's just segue into that.
Before you do that, let me just start this off by giving Captain his props on this. Cap, you were totally right. Marvel actually went through with this. Now let Afro Nerd set this up.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping, you know, but I thought it was going to be so not – so it would be so against what Marvel or DC would do. They always pretend if one of them does something – what they're doing is cool, but we probably won't do that. You know, our line is this and that. We are legends. We have our own thing. And they turned right around after they saw the sales numbers on DC 52 in some convoluted way, in my opinion. And I was thinking maybe they're going to be above the fray. Maybe they, but you know what? I have never, ever seen Marvel or DC not do what the other one is doing in some kind of way. So it looks like this Marvel Now is essentially a type of DC 52 reboot. So, Dow, do you have any more? I mean, I know a little bit about this that, you know, they don't quite want to call it a reboot. They're saying it's not rebooting. But to me, it sounds like it's a reboot. What are your thoughts on
And this is why this is dumb. This is why when Cap brought up this as a very possible possibility, yes, I used possible possibility, you know, I laughed. I went like, Marvel wouldn't do that. They're doing these season one graphic novels, and they already have the Ultimate Universe. I mean, these peons would be as stupid enough to use the Avengers, the AVX or whatever they call in that event to freaking reboot the line. And like I said, I was wrong. Cap was right. This is exactly what these idiots are doing. And once again, everybody who's plunking down cash on these books right now, guess what? You just threw your cash away. Because the stories won't matter in about 4 months. Rebooting the line. The Marvel 52? Is this what we're going to call it? Wait. No, it's Marvel. They have to be better than DC. So it's going to be Marvel 53. This is freaking idiotic. Go ahead, Captain. You were right.
Well, it's all about, at the end of the day, it's all about the cash grab. They don't necessarily care about the spontaneous, continuous, inspirational writing. That's what's supposed to sell these things and push it forward. Everyone is like me too, Colgate-Palmolive situation, where you put out a product and then one company does it well, then you just turn around, you have to turn around and say, I have to get the same product, just change the brand. So here we go. That's essentially what's happening right now with these two particular companies. And at the end of the day, who suffers? You, the person buying a comic book, the person buying the graphic novel. You would appear a person that essentially is going to suffer down the line. That's what it is. It's real simple. And this is what these individuals at the top do, the suits that make the decisions. It's real simple. It's dollars and cents. You understand? But the creativity is supposed to, you know, drive the whole situation. You're not supposed to chase after the dollars. Let the creativity bring you the dollars. Not telling the dollars, not using the dollars to say this is what's going to be created. Hey, you know, that's just me at the end of the day. Back over to you, Sir Aquilner.
Yeah, we're going to go to a quick musical break, but I do want to mention something, get into some specifics from the Newsarama website. And they're saying here, it says, Marvel isn't rebooting. A fact that everyone speaking on behalf of the company is making abundantly clear. But they are attempting a splashy new 52-esque, mind the word here, a 52-esque publishing initiative in the form of Marvel Now, a string of new series and relaunches starting in October with a new number one in stores roughly each week through February. That sounds a whole lot like 52. That says there's also rampant creative team shifts, redesigns, a new approach to covers, the hint that some characters will have new identities, and a greater integration of digital platforms. So far, 4 books have been officially announced as part of the initiative. October's Uncanny Avengers, not X-Men, folks, Uncanny Avengers by Rick Remender and John Cassidy. November's All New X-Men by Brian Michael Bendis. December's Biweekly Avengers from Jonathan Hickman and Jerome Opeña. And New Avengers by, well, how many New Avengers? I mean,
there's the problem. You're diluting the damn market already. Listen, say what you will about DC 52 outside of the Bat Universe and the Green Lantern Universe, right? They really streamlined it that where if you're looking for a character, boom, there the character is, okay? They made that accessible, all right? It pissed off a bunch of us that love continuity and stuff, but they made those readily accessible. If I'm looking for Spider-Man in an Avengers team book, which Avengers team book am I looking at? Mighty? Avengers X-Men? New Avengers? Secret Avengers? What am I looking for? God help you if you have a favorite X-Men and you want to know exactly what X book they're in now. Because go ahead.
One quick thing. I do want to mention this. I just want to shout out some of our supporters from the chat room. Stanley Kubrick, the great Stanley Kubrick from the UK, our friend from England. He's saying The Amazing Spider-Man had no emo kid in it, which was an interesting twist, but that was not Peter Parker. I don't know. I thought he looked like a hell of a lot like the Ditko Parker that I remember. Then he says 52-esque for Marvel. They rebooted Ultimate Spider-Man recently. What happens to Miles Morales now? I don't know if this affects Miles Morales. I don't think it will. But I think that they're using all these different euphemisms. You know, everything but the term reboot. But it to me, it's a reboot. Yeah. I didn't think that Marvel. Well, hold on, Darryl. I didn't think that Marvel had really continuity problems the same way that. I mean, DC really had continuity problems with all these different Earths, Earth 1, Earth 2, Earth S. You know, I mean, they were fun. They were fun when you were able to keep track of it. But, you know, at some point it was getting convoluted. So I thought that DC was really in need of a fresher upper. I just thought that they did. Now, quickly, when we get back, I want to go to a quick musical break. This is when we get back, we'll talk more. But this is Cybernetic Circuits by Optimus Rhyme. It's Afro Nerd, folks. So we're going to play nerdic music on the comic shop. Optimus Rhyme will be back in about 2 minutes. Hold on.
Is on my payroll. I spend 20 G's on this vocab upgrade. Phytogenetical cybernetic tongue muscles are good for the flow and great for other things. Now I mean, tumor chips, heat to 50 gigs. Optimus, impossibly efficient, full of 1%. Thermodynamics designed by devious engineers. Every last one expels forgivable ceiling gears. Elaborate systems are probing space for them shows. Titanium lawyers find mother nature's move. Ho, ho, purple, hurdle in the heads and I'll pass bug killer. I founded it, that passion made me iller. Pupils constrictive, you can see monitor obvious. I hired in analysis to see what my virus is. What? It's not what I expected. Infected by the whacker called conspiracy, inhibitory, infected.
Ain't nothing left but these cybernetic circuits to work with. I burst in binary code without rehearsing. I'm bursting. Permanent collisions for your operating system. You want me to stop? But what's the difference? Resistance is useless within this. Auto-beat monopoly and you're another victim. We break in, spitting more than just phlegm. Taking everything hostage, no ransom. I'm logged on from net to .com. Sliding through all your measures like I'm singing a song. Your firewall just got hit by a bomb. My soundscapes create earthquakes from Seattle to Cybertron. Just remain calm. There's no need for the static, see? These auto-beats can beat you automatically. You're now a casualty of transforming situations. Forget complacence because bomb is what you're facing.
I got 5 hard drives with 89 gigabytes.
I eat databases, networks, and websites.
I got vicious viruses that devour these satellites.
Encryption, deciphering all that you read and write.
Ignite with 5 million horses under the hood.
Conscious artificial intelligence up to no good.
Maybe delivering doses is most misunderstood.
If the Optimus, you wouldn't step to steal if you could.
I got 5 hard drives with 89 gigabytes.
I eat databases, networks, and websites.
I got these vicious viruses that devour these satellites.
Encryption, deciphering all that you read and write.
Ignite with 5 million horses under the hood.
Conscious artificial intelligence up to no good.
Maybe delivering doses that most is misunderstood.
It's the Optimus,
you wouldn't step to steal if you could.
Okay, we're back. Optimus Rhyme, Cybernetic Circuits. Optimus Rhyme, Cybernetic Circuits. Yeah, I know it's weird to hear people actually into lyrical play. You don't hear that anymore. It used to be very commonplace. So, again, Cybernetic Circuits. All right, gentlemen, we're back. We got about 11 minutes remaining. I interrupted Darryl. Darryl, you had comments before we go to the next topic?
No, it's just, it's tiring. That's all I'll say. It's tiring that you're letting one or two books, all right, control your whole line. And both DC and Marvel do it, okay? Yo, hey, if you wanted to tell somebody how to get into Avengers and X-Men, but from how they see the cartoons on TV, like Wolverine and the X-Men, like the anime joints, like Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. If you had somebody that got into, oh man, I'm really interested in watching it, what book do I read, or what book came out this week that's like that, what are you pointing to from the Marvel line saying, okay, yeah, you know, I know you like Ultimate Spider-Man, here's a book, but it's Miles Morales. There you go. Who's Miles Morales? He's the Ultimate Spider-Man. Oh, well, but he's, you know, it's supposed to be readily accessible, all right? And the problem is every one of the steps these guys take to make the books or make the universes more readily acceptable, they freaking lose the fans, or the move is so dumb and idiotic that we all roll our eyes and we don't give it a chance.
Well, I mean, listen, they're in the business, Darryl. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that, I mean, listen, as far as our connection to the comic books, we love this stuff. We grew up on these things. Maybe we're more emotionally connected to it, but as far as business is concerned, they're looking at the numbers that DC was able to pick up with their relaunch. The only problem is the logistics of it. The fact that DC really has some serious continuity problems, it was confusing. And when they're trying to introduce, because they're always looking for new readers. To our chagrin, the comic book print world, Darryl, is a dying world. It's a dying industry, and they have to figure out all kinds of wacky ideas to get people to read these books. And the comic book reader is getting older, and the kids are busy behind the Wii's and the Xboxes and the PS3s. And, you know, heck, digital downloading appears to be working. It's in business. You know, even on a holiday, I had to think about this, even during a holiday on July 4th, July 4th was a Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday. Wednesday was also the release of comic books, theoretically, but the brick-and-mortar stores were closed, but the online sites were open and ready for business on a holiday. That's very appealing. So,
but,
I don't know. Things are changing.
But, again,
whether we like it or not.
Yeah, I still bring this up. This is your big idea to attract fans back, and yet you didn't think of putting one or two comic book or comic site ads in front of Avengers in any of the theaters it was playing. Yeah,
well, what about
Spider-Man? Disney and Marvel. Spider-Man
didn't do that either.
They didn't do it. You get more eyes there, and it just shows you that these big businessmen aren't that smart after all, because you got Avengers, and you got Spider-Man. You needed to pimp this opportunity out, and you guys didn't do it.
Well, wasn't it something that Disney – that was talk about this, that one of the reasons why Disney got involved with – that bought these Marvel properties was because even on the printing end, that Disney had more deep pockets to explore the printing business, and that we were to expect more cross-promotion? This is why Disney is involved in this, from my understanding. Disney was supposed to ensure. Well, no, I mean, that's what I read.
Well, that's what you read.
That was the end game, and we haven't seen it come to fruition.
But come on, we all know why freaking Disney was interested in this. Disney's going to pimp this out like they pimped the old freaking German folk wars and myths. Right? They're gonna. This is a large section where they got ready-made characters for movies and cartoons and that, and they could get care less about printed page or digital pages. That's why Disney bought this, and that's why this is a lost opportunity, and that's why it feels like I've been smacked in the face. Like Captain said, cash grab.
Yeah. One quick thing, again, to our audience, this is the comic shop. We're about to close the shop, actually. We've got about 6 minutes remaining. Then we go next door for the Afternoon Radio Show. But I do want to pick up on one quick thing before we exit the store. Gary Frank and Jeff Johns' new trade paperback has been heavily touted for, I guess, about a year. I love Gary Frank's art. I'm a Gary Frank fan. And I picked up Batman Earth 1, and I have to admit that I picked it up and read it after I saw the Amazing Spider-Man reboot, and as good as it was, I'm like, how long are we going to keep on going into the same story? There were some elements that I liked about it. I mean, again, the art is on point. But I want to hear from, I don't think the captain read the book, but Darryl, did you read this book, Batman Earth 1?
Yes, and just like you, I will say it like this. You know what? Everybody knows who Batman is now. There's no reason to go back into the history again. Matter of fact, the regular line is suffering from this because they're adding new wrinkles to the Batman freaking mythos or the Batman origin story. How many times do we have to go back to the stupid origin story? How many?
Go like, we're trying to refreshen up the character. Excuse me, wasn't 52 supposed to do that? You don't need to go back again. Again, Captain Cash Grab. Perfect words, my brother.
Well, you know, one quick thing. You know, is Batman Earth 1, what continuity is this exactly?
The same continuity as that stupid Superman Earth 1. Same thing.
So it is not with the 52.
No, it's just another iteration of the freaking origin.
All right, hold on. We have another caller. Hold on, because we only have a few minutes. Let's open up the lines once again. Hold on. Let's get into it. Caller, welcome to the Comic Shop. 916. What's up?
Hey guys, it's Big Sexy. In fact, just wanted to jump in on the whole Jeff Johns, Gary Frank book. I read it myself this afternoon. And again, I agree with what I've heard thus far. It's another story. It was well done, but it's another origin story with new twists in it and new wrinkles and new things. And all of that energy is wasted on a book that really didn't need to happen. Now, granted, it was infinitely better than that Superman Year One or Earth One drivel, but the phrase cash grab was used earlier. That's what these books are. They're not aimed at you and I. They're aimed at the Barnes & Noble people and the casual idiot fam, and I don't like it.
You know, one quick thing. I've been having a Twitter conversation with Michael J. Straczynski, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to have him on the show. And we've been going back and forth, and, you know, when you look at his, you know, listen, the audience knows I absolutely love Supreme Power. And actually, he didn't write, and he had to correct me on this, he didn't write the Shazam, the new Shazam that appears as a backup story for the new 52 JLA. But I don't know about how Daryl feels about this, but I love the new Shazam because it is different. You know, it is different. It's not, you know, with the problem with the Batman Earth 1 is it's just a little different. And it's a little, it can be confusing. The Shazam is far more radical, really far more updated. And I think it's compelling. But with this Batman Earth 1, I thought it was a great story. I was engrossed. I love the story, but it just made it a little bit, like, they just added little garnishes to it. It wasn't anything radical for me to be really, like, in awe of it. And that's the problem. It does come off like this stuff is just money-grabbing. What are your thoughts on that, though, Dad? We got about 2 minutes. What are your thoughts on the Shazam storyline?
Well, you see, with the Shazam one, they're trying to do a different radical take on the Shazam thing, all right? They're trying to freshen up the character, quote-unquote, similar to how they had the character in the Flashpoint with the six orphans and the tiger essentially forming Captain Marvel, a la, like, Captain Planet, you know? Take the concept, let's switch it up, let's make it more relatable to audiences. But my problem with this thing is that Captain Marvel was already freaking relatable to audiences. I'm sorry, I'm not going to use the name Shazam. The dude's name is Captain Marvel. Billy Batson, kid, gifted with the gods, with six traits of valor, strength and heroism and intelligence, all right? Becomes a hero. Secretly, no one knows he's a kid in a man's body, and he always strives to do the right thing. There you go. I just gave you Captain Marvel's origin in about 15 seconds.
Okay, and speaking of time, it's time to close the shop. Gentlemen, we appreciate, as always, the support. If you like, you may want to stick around because we're going next door for Afternerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afternerd Radio. Daryl, as always, you are to be commended for your involvement and your commitment to the show. So we'll see you and everyone else once again next week. But stay
Not
tuned for the comment for Afternerd Radio. Excuse me, Afternerd Radio coming up in a few moments. Again, gentlemen, we appreciate the support. We're going next door. Thanks again.
Rest in peace, Ernest Fortnite.
Spock with a beard?
I think not.
We'll be right back.
now, man. The word is excuse me.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Not only just ask me now, you're talking about my brand new white Air Jordans I just bought. And that's all you can say is excuse me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'll fuck you up quick two times.
Two times?
Who told you to step on my sneakers? Who told you to walk on my side of the block? Who told you to be in my neighborhood?
I own this brown stuff.
Who told you to buy a brownstone on my block in my neighborhood on my side of the street? Yo, what you want to live in a black neighborhood for anyway, man? Motherfuck gentrification.
Well,
as I understand it, this is a free country. Man can live wherever he wants.
Free country? Man, I should fuck you for saying that stupid shit alone.
Yo, man, your Jordans are fucked up.
Damn, man, you might as well throw them shits out. Them shit is broke.
Man, it looked at it good before he messed them up. He did this shit on purpose, man. He was even talking about your mom.
Oh,
that's
hard, that shit. You're making me so
hard. Yo, man, how much you pay for him?
$100 American dollars.
$108 with tax.
I give him $100 headache.
Look, you're lucky the black man has a loving heart. Oh. Have you seen me coming, man? You cross the street quick.
I'm out of here.
Yo, man, bring his feet. Come on,
take his bike. I should make you buy me another pair.
Black Panther, whoop his ass.
Take his bike.
Kick his ass.
Man, you're lucky I'm a righteous black man. I'm about you be in serious trouble, man. Serious.
Fuck him up.
Then why don't you move back to Massachusetts?
I was born in Brooklyn.
Oh, man.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logic.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bird, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Welcome, welcome, folks. Again, your heroes have returned. Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The time is 7:03 p.m. Listen, we have a lot to get into this evening. As always, we try to give you the best that we can. A lot to get into. Chris Rock sets it off on Twitter. Morgan Freeman sets it off in an NPR interview. And we're going to talk about it. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, and once again, and again. 646-915-9620. Folks, let's get into a quick groove. This is an oldie but a goodie. Spread Love, the Mark 45 King mix. When have I heard this? Spread Love. We'll be back. You better groove. Or not. Okay, let me try it once again. Come on, come on. Here we go.
Yeah.
classic groove, Spread Love by Mark the 45 King, and of course, Take Six. All right, folks, we're back. Happy 4th of July. I don't know if I can give you quite the same tweet that Chris Rock gave, but in his own words, I understand. I understand. As he would say, I understand. So, after featuring Captain Kirk, speaking of the captain, Captain, it's time.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Just quickly, on July 20th, there shall be only one event that matters. The captain will do once again what no one else does. He'll suspend time and space and create an event that the only event will matter, which is Batman on July 20th. So make sure you go see it, because the Dark Knight will rise. Let's get started, D-Birch.
All right. Listen, didn't you say you have a quick piece, a quick monologue, diatribe that you want to get into?
You see, you can't give them too much information at once. You have to space it out. You have to space it out. You know? Otherwise, you get into synaptic overload. You understand? So one thing at a time. We'll do that at another time. Let's just get into the show. I feel very energetic. I'm ready to go. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
All right. For our audience, listen, we had a quick snafu on Tuesday. We had a special Tuesday broadcast. We were expecting hip-hop icon legendary lyricist MC Lyte. There was indeed a snafu. They were profusely apologetic, her camp. So they assured us that she will be live at our studios this Tuesday on the 10th, 4 p.m. Check it out. We had a record amount of listeners, with the expectation that Ms. Lyte would appear. This time she will appear July 10th. We're going to get into it. I'm going to ask her about her friend, and I'm not saying not really a friend, but Nicki Minaj and her vaunted hair hats. The woman wears Caucasian hair hats in 100-degree heat, Captain. It's 100 degrees even as we speak. Well, actually, it's 88. But it feels like 100 degrees in the NYC. The apple is baking. This woman is wearing Caucasian hair hats. I'm just saying. I'm going to ask her some serious stuff, too. She has a nonprofit organization called the Hip Hop Sisters Network. She's, I believe that she's here to straighten out this nonsense with the current state of hip-hop in her own way, trying to get more women involved. So we're going to really mix it up with her, have a good time, and I assure you it's not the show to miss. Tuesday the 10th, 4 p.m. All right, the topics quickly, Captain. Chris Rock is feeling the pain. Feeling the pain because he put out this controversial tweet on the 4th of July, and I thought the tweet was quite provocative, quite accurate, and it got some folks upset. So we'll talk about that. Also, Morgan Freeman, Academy Award-winning actor, noted thespian voice actor as well, Easy Reader from back in the days on PBS. He said some words about President Obama, saying that he's not black, he's not really black, that he's biracial. He's the first multiracial, biracial president and not the black president. And quite a few folks took umbrage with Mr. Freeman, so we're going to talk about that as well. For our vaunted blue area segment, something that the captain brought to my attention, Kyle Hicks, a triple threat, young man, 14 years of age. He's a Olympic-level martial artist, a pianist, and a scholar. So we have to talk about him. No one else, your Mistral radio programming is not going to talk about these really accomplished young people, but we will do it here for our Blue Area segment at Afternoon Radio. And also there's Terrence Jones, UK's Terrence Jones, and I'm talking about United Kingdom, but University of Kentucky. He did something quite magnanimous. He offered to pay or was able to facilitate his friend getting new teeth, working on his dental, his dental situation. I thought that was commendable that he was able to help a friend and fan, I think fellow student at the University of Kentucky, by hooking up his teeth. So I thought that's, you know, so listen, we're hearing sports figures killing people and all kinds of madness. So when you hear someone that is doing something very positive, very just commendable, we have to take notes. That also is going to be under the umbrella of the blue area. And then something else, Jeremy Lin. This has been bothering me for the last couple of days. Is he or is he not going to remain with the New York Knickerbockers? I hope he does. Please, Jeremy, please stay in the NYC. Please. But if he goes to the Rockets, I'll buy that jersey. I'll buy that jersey. I'm going to keep it 100. All right, Captain, let's just get into it. Chris Rock puts out a tweet. I think I have a clip first of others talking about this thing. Controversial, but still accurate. Hold on. This is a quick minute clip of Chris Rock and his Twitter beef. Hold on.
Chris Rock's controversial 4th of July tweet. Hey guys, I'm Stephanie Bauer for Holly Scoop. Everybody hates Chris, but Chris Rock hates America, kind of. While everyone was tweeting happy 4th of July all morning, Chris Rock used the social media site to vent his Independence Day frustrations. He writes, "Happy white people's Independence Day. The slaves weren't free, but I'm sure they enjoyed the fireworks." Harsh words for a country that has provided Chris Rock with a net worth of $70 million. So far, a ton of tweets have taken aim at Chris for being un-American, but no celeb Twitter users have jumped on it. Too bad Alec Baldwin quit Twitter, because I know he'd have an opinion or two. For more celebrity scoop, check out hollyscoop.com.
Watch your favorite videos.
All right, we're back again. Noted comedian, satirist, Chris Rock, in a little bit of hot water for his comment on Independence Day. I'm gonna say my piece in a moment, but Catherine, I want you to say something on this. What are your thoughts on Chris Rock saying what he said? Was it inappropriate? Was it honest or, you know, ill-conceived or just what's going on? What's the problem?
First, you have to understand everything that, one, the first thing, this is a media grab. The media likes to just grab things and run with it. They have to create content, create news, make things that are really small. It is a situation, but make it small. Make a mountain out of a molehill, so to speak. That's the first thing. That's the job of the media. All right? Next, also, you have to look in today's environment that we have here in 2012, where the environment is such that political correctness is the norm. Underneath the guise of political correctness, you cannot speak your mind in no way, shape, and form. We all have to have a liberal conservative mentality, and that's not the case. That's the agenda that they want to put us to. You have to be a liberal conservative. And in case you don't know what that means you have to be totally the same. And then they give you a system in order for you to move in. And that's it. And that's what everyone else has to do. And if you do not move within that system, they have a problem with you. Now, that being said, what he said, from my opinion, my standpoint, is correct. So you can hit me up on an email if you don't like what I just said right there. I give my opinion, too bad. Whoever doesn't like it, too bad. You know, it is totally correct from my standpoint. His opinion is correct. As Daryl would say, his opinion is correct. But normally he says opinion is wrong. His opinion is correct, according to the captain. So, you know, you just also remember Chris Rock had that great stand-up in the 90s that he says he will not do again with niggas versus black people and telling you the difference. Sometimes we use it as the opening for this show also here. He says he will not do that joke anymore because he realizes in this climate of political correctness, you cannot do that sort of thing anymore. And, you know, a lot of people would just run and make it into a huge, big thing, even though he did it in the 90s. So this is what we're dealing with at this day and time with something such as this. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
You know, I'm thinking of a couple of things, Captain. I make no bones that I have more of a conservative bent on my show. You are more on the independent side. We're still, either way, however you put it, we're still independent thinkers, both of us. And, you know, this makes me think of our friends of Jewish descent, that they have no qualms. They have no qualms about pulling out their metaphysical nail or their metaphysical tack to put under the foot of America to remind them of the horrors of the Holocaust. And they should do that. But for some reason, when people of color pull out their respective tack or nail and put it under the foot of America to remind them of historical facts, of historical tragedies, of historical misgivings and injustice, it's a problem. I have no problems with someone speaking truthfully. Many things that we say on the show, matter of fact, I have to commend the captain on something as well. He straightened me out on one occasion where he said, I went into one of my rants, and the captain can attest to this, went into one of my rants about black folk not admitting certain things. Let me repeat that. And I say this on the show all the time. There's some things, that some of the things that we bring forward that are uncomfortable, that Mr. Starks would talk about as the unattractive truth. When we would mention the unattractive truth, it is what it is. It's unattractive. No one wants to admit to it. You get anger, all kinds of stuff. And when I went into my rants, the captain said, you know what? Nobody owns up to anything. Captain, speak on that for a minute. You told me this, and I had to compose myself, reevaluate, capitulate. Talk about that.
Well, it's absolutely true. If you can even look at it from the base level as a car accident. Your car is not moving. Someone makes a turn into your car. Your car is essentially, you're parked. You might have your car, your ignition, the key in the ignition, but the car is not moving, and you have it in park. And someone makes a turn and they crash into your car. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Now, let's look at it from this standpoint. Well, one, you're in the car. If the car was parked somewhere else, nothing would happen. But for most part, it's the person who turned into you. It's their fault. That person gets out of the car and starts blaming you for everything. Why'd you have your car parked there? Why'd you have this? Why'd you have... This is what people do. They don't want to be responsible for anything. Let's take it to another level. Man and woman gets pregnant. Man and woman. Now, you notice how I say man and woman gets pregnant, okay? Because it takes two. That's why I'm saying it that way. Actually, it's the woman that gets pregnant. You know what the woman turns around and says? He got me pregnant. He didn't rape you. You decide to lay down, spread your legs, and do what you do. That's how that happened. So it took two of you. But you don't want to take responsibility for what's growing inside your body also. He got me pregnant. This is what people do. They don't want to be responsible for anything whatsoever. Now we bring it back to this, okay? What happened here in America with black people, we were taken from Africa, brought here in America and changed. No one wants to take responsibility for that. No one wants to take responsibility for it at all. So anytime anybody raises that point, they want to just push it down. Oh, maybe, you know, if it comes out, we have to pay reparations. We have to pay the black people. And if you pay the black people, just maybe a few of them might really get it together, and then they start doing for self and getting everything going. So you just have to keep everything down. Nobody wants to take responsibility for anything at any level. I gave you three different analogies right there. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key component there. People forget, and I'm going to support Chris on this one. I am a Chris Rock stan or Chris Rock supporter, fan, whatever euphemism. And we forget, as the great captain noted in his earlier diatribe, with the infamous niggas versus black people routine, where whites were in attendance, mind you, whites were in attendance to hear this tour, hear this comedic rant. And it was Chris Rock being self-effacing, self-deprecating toward those of the same hue. Okay, now, at the time, there were some folks, some black folks, that took umbrage with Chris Rock doing this routine. Not everybody was in support of it. I was supportive of it. I know the captain was. There were quite a few black folks who said, okay, this is the reality, and he is being self-deprecating, and he is actually spreading the pain equally. So if he talks about black folks and their frailties, he had this good hair documentary. So he goes in on black folks. But hey, white folks, it's your turn. It's your turn. And if he's going, it would be different if his whole shtick was against white people. But he has been equally, maybe even more vociferous toward his own, if we're going to be tribal, his own, and yet we're supposed to forget all that. It's your turn, simply put. No one is talking about the factual essence of what this young man has been talking about. It's meant to be comedy. Sure, that's what makes him an excellent satirist, is that there's a great deal of truth in the comedy. That is where the genius comes from. But I thought that it's ridiculous to say that, oh, well, your personal wealth is $70 million. You're getting paid, black man. You know, you're making money in this country. So because he gets paid, because he is successful, Captain, he has to ignore the truth. I find that unconscionable. So, you know, what are we going to do? All of a sudden you shut your mouth because you make a little money? That obfuscates the truth? I think it's amazing. We have a caller. Let's get into the call. Once we take this call, then we're going to go to a musical break, and then we're going to go to something else. So let's get into it. Caller, welcome to After the Radio. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, 267.
Yeah, my name is John. I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Hey, John.
We know you, John. What's up, man?
Yeah, as far as Chris Rock is concerned, yeah, the country has problems. And, you know, the 4th of July is their birthday celebration. But I don't think he would want to be in the Congos of Africa. That's for sure, because, you know, it's definite chaos there. So I think that, you know, when people are successful in America, they need to – I'm not saying they shouldn't criticize America, but they need to keep their level of criticism at a certain level and not – try to criticize every time America has a celebration to occur. Because, I mean, like, because he has definitely done very well in this country. And that's not easy to do in other parts of the world. So.
Yeah, well, John, you know, listen, what you're saying, and you're calling from the city of brotherly love, ironically, but I will say this much. You have a point. And you do think about these things, but at the same time, you can't get upset when he has a kernel of truth, and it seems like there are other ethnicities that are able to get away with this stuff without the uproar. Why should his personal success have anything to do with what happened? I mean, there was an awful lot of pain, man, for him to be able to make the money that he has in this way. I mean, someone even commented saying, well, I'm sure your Guatemalan maid is equally thankful for your comments, something like about that. Then they said about his success, and
yeah.
it only took 100 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence for black people to be free. But I'm like, wait a minute, only a century after you have this grand proclamation of freedom, John, and there was an awful lot of death, an awful lot of rapes. An awful lot of families being disenfranchised. It only took 100 years. I mean, when you hear this, how people react to this,
yeah.
It is amazing.
But I think black people are at a point of diminishing returns when it comes to talking about slavery and their pain in America because of the changes that are occurring in among these different ethnic groups. You have people that are coming to America who also come with a lot of pain as well from their countries of origin. So, and one of the comments that's telling about our current president is when he spoke to a civil rights group and he basically told them to stop being lazy, to stop complaining all the time, because we're at a point in history where the majority population or these other minorities that are in the country, they don't want to hear the complaints coming from African Americans at this point in time in history. They want to see African Americans, as a result of them having a man who's in office who says he's African American, they want to see them make greater strides in society now.
Well, John, you know what? Your preaching is required on that. Now, you know how we do. You've been listening for quite a while. You know we do talk this way. And so what the captain said is that no one owns up. White folks are going to have to own up. But conversely, based on what you just said now, and you know we get the heat for this. We ask black folks that, hey, there's going to be a Twitter that someone's going to make that's going to be very similar to Chris Watts' Twitter about you. And will you have this? That's the key. See, that's my only problem. I agree with everything you said, but there's going to be a point where black folks are going to get that tweet, and I hope they don't get shook if that is equally as truthful. Hold on, John. I want to go to another call. Hold on for a moment. Let's open up the lines. I think this person is Ebony Empress. Ebony Empress. Welcome to Afro Radio. Tell us, well, you know who you are. What's up? What are your thoughts?
Hi, I'm from London. And
oh, great.
Yeah,
hey, listen, you know I love you. You know I love you. So I love some British folk. So.
Okay, some? Just some?
Okay. No. You're already on my good side because I consider myself an Anglophile. So
okay,
go ahead.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
Just to say I'm enjoying the show and listening. Actually, I didn't press my number one to say I wanted to speak, but I think because I could hear you better on Skype, I put it through to Skype. But just to say that it's an interesting conversation that you're having. Because in the UK, we've probably stopped having those conversations so much now. But we hear maybe what you guys are saying about reparations and whatever, because here that conversation happened probably in the 70s, the late 70s and the early 80s, but the conversation has started to die away now. And I think as we make progress, our communities make more progress, those conversations do start to die. The question is, are they still relevant? And I think they always are. It's just that we tend to get bought off more by the system the longer we are in the system. So the longer that we are sort of part of the mainstream, which is what most of us are trying to aspire to or achieve, you know, that's gonna happen. You know, you will get people saying, well, shut up now and stop talking about what, you know, slavery and all the other things that happened to us, because actually we're so much more better off. But are we really is the question. Have things changed that much, or is it still just a few of us that are getting a chance to push through, but still the majority are behind and not feeling those benefits? And then for me, it's still a relevant question.
Well, I tell you something. What you're saying is crucial. I believe what you say has a lot of validity to it. I appreciate your opinion on it. And you are right. And that's what I was saying earlier, is that when you're talking about Chris Rock, I mean, you know, he personally is successful, and that's supposed to assuage all the pain that happened before his success. But at the same time, you know, America did allow him to make the money that he's making. But, you know, there's got to be a point, and I'm going back to what John has said from Philadelphia. There has to be a point where we do root out some of the dysfunctional stuff going on, root out some of this madness in hip-hop. You can't have Gwyneth Paltrow, which we spoke about a few weeks ago, talking about, quote-unquote, niggas in Paris, and then create a culture where she's comfortable going there, and then get upset with her when we created the culture and we allowed her to purchase the culture. We're caught in quicksand, literally.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to own up to some things. I think with Chris Rock, with what he said, I think white folks should own up to the truth of what he said. However, I'm waiting for the tweet that comes out that's going to ask for correction from black people. And when it's said truthfully, will we be as angry as the white folks that are saying, forget about you? That's my concern.
Yeah.
So, again, how often have you been listening to us? I hope that you are We need as many listeners as we can from all over the world, so we appreciate it.
This is my first time. I actually have a show on Blog Talk. So my show goes out to, on a Tuesday night. So really, I just try and get around and listen to lots of shows and have a little input and connect with people. But yeah, it is my first time listening. Really interesting. And I'm going to keep listening, and I will follow you too.
Okay, right back at you. Shout out your show again. Shout out your show for the audience.
It's called Ebony's Real Talks, and it's on Blog Talk Radio, and it's on Tuesday nights from 10 o'clock GMT, which is about 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Sounds good. We appreciate your support. And check out for MC Light. She's coming through on Tuesday, so we appreciate you coming through. Thank you very much.
No problem. You take care.
You too.
I'll just keep listening.
Okay. Ta-la.
Okay.
Okay, that's a little Brit that I picked up there, you know, that ta-la. So I'm letting folks know I may make the change up with my vocals. Trust me.
Yeah, I see.
You know, my name is my name is Desmond Burton. That's very that's very much an, you know, it's quite a few Desmond Burtons. And go ahead.
I think I got you on that. Good old from the Jane Goodall camp. From the Jane Goodall camp.
I love her. Listen, I love her voice. She knows that. She knows that anything that a Brit says is truthful. Because it just sounds correct.
All right, Idris Elba. Let's go.
Okay. All right, folks, listen, we have a quick musical break. We appreciate the support from all our listeners, but we're going to go into some groove. This is, well, you know, it's always who it is. It's His Royal Majesty, the other His Royal Majesty, Royal Badness. She's Always in My Hair by Prince. We'll be back in a few moments. Hold on. Folks, we're back again. His Royal Badness, She's Always in My Hair, one of my favorite songs. This is Afner featuring Captain Kirk. The time is 7:35 p.m. Just a reminder to the audience, again, MC Light, we're expecting her on Tuesday, 4 p.m., so don't miss that show. We also try to give you the best in urban alternative entertainment, best in urban alternative music. Everything is not Nicki Minaj and Chris Brown and the Minstrels. We do not play minstrel music here. You will hear, hey, listen, I got to remind the audience, we'll play classic hip-hop, we'll play acid jazz, we'll play jazz, we'll play black rock, Afro-punk, you name it, not the minstrels. Enough. No more minstrelsy, Captain. So we will play the real deal, the groove and the funk and the jazz. Just reminding you, I'm just saying. All right, listen, let's do a quick segue moment. The call-in number, by the way, folks, feel free to give us a buzz. Don't be scared, as they say. It's 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I want to talk about old Morgan Freeman. At it again, making some comments about our president, about his ethnicity once again. It looks like he's not black enough. I'm somewhat familiar with that disparaging remark. I've heard it many times. How many times have I heard, Captain, in the gym that I just don't see you with a black girl? I just don't see it. Maybe an Asian princess. Say, repeat that again.
That's a regular comment for you.
It is. I just don't see it. An Asian princess, maybe a Latina, maybe a Caucasian woman. I don't argue. But I love the sisters as well. So I don't argue with them, but hey. Well, you know what? That's a different show. But I know President Obama's pain somewhat, and I think it's troubling. So what I want to do, if I can, Captain, is find this clip of Morgan Freeman, or at least the discussion on Morgan Freeman, then we'll unpack it for our audience, and we'll really get into this. I think it's nonsense, personally. And we had a bit of a online discussion in email with some of our listeners about this thing, and I thought I broke it down quite well. But, hey, maybe I'll be repeating myself. All right, this is Morgan Freeman. Let's hold on for a second if I can find it. I just saw it.
Easy reader. That's
okay,
my
here
name.
We, here we go. Morgan Freeman on Obama. Hold on.
Here's a quick PopStop TV news update.
Hey, guys. Arika Santos here for PopStop TV News. America is proud to have its first black president, but Oscar-winning actor Morgan Freeman thinks otherwise. The Dark Knight Rises star says that we don't have a black president win yet. Huh?
Freeman points out that Obama is of mixed race heritage, and therefore America's first black president hasn't arisen yet. He's not America's first black president. He's America's first mixed race president. The actor's argument is that because everyone thinks Obama is black, there is a racial barrier set up against him. Freeman believes that people oppose the president because of his race, and his political opponents unfairly. First thing that always pops into my head regarding our president is that all of the people who are setting up this racial barrier for him, they just conveniently forgot that Barack had a mama and she was white. Very white American, Kansas, middle of America, says Morgan Freeman. Maybe Freeman forgot that people of mixed races sometimes identify themselves with only one parent's race. In this case, Obama has chosen to identify himself as an African American.
What do you think about Morgan Freeman's point? How much African-American do you have to be considered African-American? If we go by Morgan's words, we're going to have to rewrite some history books. Tweet me at Arika Fato or tweet us at PopStopTV.com.
For more pop culture news, log on to PopStopTV.com.
All right, Captain. I'm going to dig in on this one, but I want you to take the helm first. What are your thoughts on Morgan Freeman's? I mean, he's entitled to his opinion, but... Do you think there's something else going on here as to why you would make that comment, or?
Hold on. As
what
a sidebar, as a sidebar, not to go off on a tangent, but it's tangentially related. All Americans have to realize this. This is the first thing. There's three branches of government. You have the executive branch, legislative branch, and judicial branch. Okay? The president heads up the executive branch. So the president's power is limited. I repeat, limited. That's why you need to have your boys on the Supreme Court, okay? That's why you need Otherwise, you cannot get certain things done. This is a sidebar, and we're probably going to have to do a show or do a segment on one particular show explaining this breakdown, because the knowledge that people have pertaining to the power of the president is totally, you know, at the first grade level. And when I hear all of these comments, now that being said, back to the subject matter. Human beings, animals are what is known as mixed. Human beings are not mixed. It's a term that they like to use, but animals are mixed breed. You know, they use that term a lot. If we go back, and I have to go back, I don't like to go back, but if you don't know the history, if you don't know history, you cannot know your future. They used to use the term octoroon. They used to use a term, this is during slavery times, by the way, for those people who don't understand how far back I'm going. They used to say, up until 132nd, I believe, you were black. Anything after that, then you went to the other side. And if I look at my own history, my great-great-grandfather was a white man, okay? But if you look at me, you see me walking around, perception is reality. What are you going to turn around and say? And if we probably check my DNA, it might be only maybe 60% black, quote unquote, with all these DNA testing. So perception is reality. That's ultimately what it comes down to. Now, as far as Morgan Freeman, I like Morgan Freeman. I like his acting ability. I always liked him since Easy Reader. You know, so I don't want to beat him up too much. And I also think his words were taken a little bit out of context, just a little bit, when you begin to hear the whole statement and everything else. But whether we like it or not, perception is reality. When you look at Obama, turn your neck quickly to the right or left, and you see a picture of Obama. You don't go mixed president, half-breed president, or biracial president. You go, there's a black man. If you saw him walking down the street going to work, that is a black man. Perception is reality. So stop it. Stop it. The problem with these individuals, it seems like they want some street black wearing a do-rag in the office. That's not who you would want in office. So let's stop it. Let's stop it. Just stop it. You want someone who's polished, who speaks well, who's supposed to be the best of your people. That's who you prop up there at the end of the day. Now, I'm not going to beat up Mr. Freeman too much. I'm not going to do that. I'll let Afro-Nerd do that if that's what he wants to do. So back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, I'm not going to beat him up too much. Not too much. He is entitled to his opinion, and I like the captain. He is an incredible thespian, incredible actor. I can't take that away from him. But at the same time, you know, I said this in jest, but it was truthful in the email exchange. I said, maybe Mr. Freeman might have to learn to drive a car without a Caucasian female in the passenger seat while married. Focus, Negro, focus. Maybe you might want to do that. And, you know, maybe you might want to change up on your dating preference with your stepdaughter. I'm just saying. See, when folks say certain statements and you start to get into their character, I'm a little suspect. I believe his ex-wife took him for a whole gang of cash. Morgan Freeman is a very wealthy man. And, I mean, you know, hey, listen. Hold on.
What was that? I heard that.
Now, wait. You're speeding. I can see it.
No, Miss Daisy, no. We're only doing about 19 miles an hour.
I like to go under.
What you getting at?
Slow down. You don't have to carry on so much.
Focus, Negro. Focus. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Try to keep your hands on the wheels. Both hands next time, fool. Anyway, all jokes aside, I broke this down in email format as far as what Mr. Freeman is talking about. And the captain hinted at this, folks. People do not have the time to go through your racial resume upon sight. There are a whole lot of black folk in the community that look a lot like President Obama, that when they walk around and they have to deal with social interactions, they're not going to give him dispensation because of his white connection. It's not going to happen. Matter of fact, when I believe in 2008 during the campaign, when his campaign staff were going to different states, different counties, going to Pennsylvania, and they were talking to the white constituency, and they were saying, you know, this is an honorable young man. He's a graduate from Harvard. He's your man. And by the way, he has a white mother. They said, oh, we don't care about that. I'm going to vote for the white guy. I don't see it. He's black to me. This is the reality that he is living in. When the radio host from Arizona, Barbara Espinoza, said, I think he's a monkey. I voted for the white guy. This woman has still not been taken off the air, folks. Has still not been taken off the air. You know, I think it's pretty much self-explanatory. We have European surnames, Captain. European surnames. Why did we get that? How did that happen? Matter of fact, we've never done the full investigation, but Reverend Sharpton may be related to Strom Thurmond. There are white Sharptons that owned his family. And Sharpton is related to – the Sharptons are related to the Thurmonds. This is a reality. Also, Barack Obama's father was for the lack of a better word, a true African man, an African of African, direct African lineage. Many of the black folk, including Mr. Freeman, his parentage they're not direct from Africa, not direct. So if you want to be honest, Barack Obama may be more close to what a African-American would be maybe 100, 200 years ago, because the whites that were commingling with the blacks, they were commingling with Africans. The African-Americans in this country are all of us, 80% if you disregard the Gullah from the Gullah Islands, from the Sea Islands of South Carolina, if you disregard them, everyone else is of mixed heritage. Everyone. Looking at one of my idols, Condoleezza Rice, looking at her, she is has the looks of a, if you want to use the term, has the looks of a African-American or African woman. However, thanks to Dr. Henry Louis Gates, she came up 50-50. 50-50. As did Henry Louis Gates himself. So, whosoever is pure, throw the stone. Throw the first stone. No one is pure. No one. And also, and I'm going to close this up. We got about 2 minutes remaining. If we go by, because I could talk about this. I study this, folks. I study this. If we were to go by Mr. Freeman's analogy, we have to get rid of some folks of note. We have to get rid of them. We have to get rid of Elhaj Malik Shabazz.
Oh, yes.
We have to get rid of him. Now, in my mind, that's the blackest man on record. That's the blackest man on record. However, he had red hair and freckles and a fair complexion. Malcolm X, we have to get rid of him. He has to be excommunicated. I'd like to see you try that, by the way. I'd like to see you try that. Frederick Douglass was also, quote-unquote, biracial. See, you had the freedom to be biracial in 2012. In 1870, you didn't. Okay, so you have to get rid of him. You have to get rid of the founder of the black Muslims, of the Nation of Islam, Farad Muhammad. You have to get rid of him. You have to get rid of Booker T. Washington. There's a whole host of black folks you would have to get rid of if you go down this line. And I'm pretty sure that if Mr. Freeman were to do the DNA, which I think he did, if he were to do the DNA, there'd probably be a blue-eyed, fair-complected European foreparent staring right at his ass. Let's keep it real. Let's stop this. Let's stop it. Now, something else that's tangentially connected to this, Captain, I have another audio to play related to the same thing, sort of. Someone that I could pretty much connect with, and I'll try to get him on the show, matter of fact. Wayne Brady and Aisha Tyler. Aisha Tyler has a podcast. These two are probably going to be, probably have caught that questionable blackness thing. Not so much about their phenotype, not so much, although Aisha has quite keen features. So they're going to talk about that. But they're highly educated, well-spoken black folks, and because we have this image of what blackness is supposed to be, most of the time we've been conditioned to think of blackness on a lower tier level. We've been conditioned. So when Barack Obama, when the Afro nerd, when Wayne Brady, when these folks speak from with a certain vernacular, you don't like it. You say they're not black. He went in on Bill Maher because Bill Maher says he wanted a real black president in the sense that a real gangsta president. And Wayne Brady took umbrage. But you black folks don't complain because you secretly believe that blackness equals gangsta also. Let's keep it 100. You secretly believe that blackness, listen, Wiz Khalifa and Snoop Dogg will never be, heck, Ice-T, even Ice-T, who might not be as black phenotypically as Obama, but he's certainly black. That's for sure. Or should I say for sure? That's for sure. Okay? No one questions those the blackness of those gentlemen. Heck, we didn't question President Clinton's blackness. President Clinton was able to get a quote-unquote ghetto pass. We've done less scrutiny on President Clinton's blackness than on President Obama's blackness. Holler if you hear me. This is Wayne Brady getting at – this is Wayne Brady. Brady, I'm sorry, holler as opposed to holler. Wayne Brady versus Bill Maher. Hold on.
See, but even Bill Maher, like I've had Bill Maher twice now when referencing Obama. He's like, yeah, you know, with your Wayne Brady, who did – so that means that it's a diss to Obama to be called me because he wants – a brother or what he perceives, just because you fuck black hookers, just because you've had that particular black experience. And I had to stop myself from getting into it, Bill, because I realized the thing is that if I would have gone on his show or even doing it online, I'm not going to win, because as soon as you back off, he still has his platform to say whatever he wants to. So, you know what, that's fine. But I do say this on your podcast, and if he ever hears, because he should listen, because you're brilliant. If he once said, oh, I want to know how black Wayne Brady is, that chip on my shoulder says that rarely do you threaten a man and you should not fear anyone. Now, I'm not saying I'm Billy Badass, but if Bill Maher has his perception of what's black wrapped up, I would gladly slap the shit out of Bill Maher in the middle of the street. And then I want to see what Bill Maher would do. Now, Bill Maher would call the cops, and he would have his lawyer, and I'd get sued and lose my house, and it's not worth it for me. But the black man part of me would be so satisfied to slap the shit out of him in front of Coco and Ebony and Fox, the three ladies of the night that he has hired.
I think there's one called Fancy, too.
Fancy, who also happened to be named Tyreek at one point. So the thing is, that comes from a place of actually respecting Bill Maher's comedy and loving him until I heard that shit, because I took that personally.
Yeah.
You mean to slam the leader of the free world with my name because I'm not the aggressive black man? That's fine. Let's go,
Although
Bill.
I will say what's exciting about it is that your name and your persona and your identity has become such a cultural touchstone that you're quoted in bits about other people.
Who knew? You know, that on the flip side,
yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You
like
become a pop culture reference.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Folks, that was pretty rough. Again, we're not into expletives, but I gave him a pass on that. We usually try to keep a clean show, but unfortunately I couldn't edit everything. But I thought what Mr. Brady said, and I'm going to try my best to get him on the show, actually. I thought what he said is quite compelling, and it's what we talk about here at AfroNerd, just as the young lady from the UK called in. We have folks of African descent from the UK. We have Afro-Latins. We have blacks from New York, blacks from the West Coast, the East Coast, the South, all Africans, all biracial folk, all kinds of black people, all kinds, educational levels, economic levels. Yes, we're all black, but we have different experiences and we have a lot more to tell, different types of music. That's why we emphasize urban alternative here at Afro Radio. There's different things going on, different things to unpack. We're bigger than this. But anytime we talk about someone not really being black, and this is why it's connected to the issue with Morgan Freeman, it always goes down to when it's the lowest common denominator, Captain, we never question that being black. The Bloods, the Crips, the pimps, the prostitutes, the preachers, these folks are never questioned on their blackness. But when you speak with a certain dialect or a certain vernacular, you're educated, you pick up a rocket, you pick up a guitar, you're not rapping, you're not bouncing a basketball, you speak you have correct diction, it's a problem. And black folks and white folks together, some of the black community and the white community, get together and have a minstrel party. A minstrel party where they both agree, we's niggas. That is what we're fighting here at Afro Radio. We're fighting it. Trust me. And I applaud Mr. Brady for calling. And I like Bill Maher. But Bill Maher does have a tendency to go into this, you know, we need a gangster black, a real black. He goes into that shtick, and I don't like it. And because he has some black friends, probably of a lower tier side, because he has friendships with that segment of the black community, he thinks that is the true black. I'm not into that. Catherine, we got about a minute remaining. We got to get on up out of here. Any thoughts? Sorry about the blue area, folks. We'll get into that I guess next Sunday, actually. Any closing remarks?
Well, I think you summed it up very well. Once again, just to iterate once again, these individuals who are talking, they do not understand the power that the president does have and does not have at the end of the day. They really just don't understand that at all. So coming this Tuesday, MC Light, 4 p.m. So everybody listen up for that. If you cannot catch the live show, make sure you catch the podcast. Back over to you, Sir Afternerd.
Yes, folks, it's been an absolute pleasure. We appreciate doing the show. And listen, we're going to go on out, and we're going to continue this conversation next time around after the MC Light interview. This is Hot Music, a classic, Hot Music by Soho. See you guys on Tuesday. Thanks once again.